Howdy, crew, and welcome to the Profundity Podcast, a podcast hosted by me, Andrew Ripple, who is a human that says words most of the time. Can you hear the lovely country music that is playing in the background through the thin windows and thin walls? Because I can, but you probably can't if I just keep talking longer and longer and longer. Let's get that 30 minutes set on the clock. And right now, for those that are unfamiliar, this is a podcast where I just talk about things, try to pick a thing in particular to talk about for the half an hour that I discuss, but as per anything that is completely unscripted and rambletastic, it just goes wherever it goes. So this is the life we lead, ladies and gentlemen. This is the life we lead. My name is Andrew Ripple. I'm a college student that is about to not be a college student because I will graduate in a few months, and then I will be a regular human being in the world that has to do regular human being in the world type things. And none of that is a thing that I particularly want to think about all that much, because I mean, it'll be fun, it'll be enjoyable, and Lord knows am I ready to not be in college and not be in college at this particular school. I'm quite prepared for that bit, that chapter of the life, to be nicely closed off forever. But it's the rest of it. It's the having to like deal with adult things and having to like be a regular human being in this world that is troublesome. It's not something that I particularly want to deal with, because that involves scary things, that involves being responsible, that involves having to like behave in a way that is appropriate so that you don't like die or get audited. Death and taxes, guys, the two most certain things in life. How's this going, by the way? How are you enjoying the minute 41 that you're listening to thus far? Because, you know, I can't promise that it'll get better. I cannot promise that it'll get better. I cannot indeed. But whatever. This week, maybe we'll get to the topic nice and bright and early, and the topic that I think I'm going to talk about, which will be, since I'm doing these week, I'm building myself in a nice little week-long buffer, although it's a week-long buffer that I've currently exhausted, but I'm probably going to record a couple episodes in the next couple days so I can get the buffer back. Anyway, shop talk. The moral of the story is that this is going out a week or so after when it'll already be 2 weeks beyond it by the time I'm talking about it, but let's talk about Grease Live. Grease Live was fun. I watched the first hour of it live because, okay, first thing that we can start off and talking about, so it'll be Grease Live, and Grease Live is a conversation about TV in the modern age and all sorts, so it's fun stuff like that. But right now, here, Fox is a network that should be freely available. It's one of the broadcast networks. It should be freely available to all that have a television. Now, I don't have a television. Okay. So, but you could see, a thing that could make sense is to have the online equivalent of live television. Right now, what I could do, if I wanted to, was buy a television and buy an over-the-air antenna, and then boom, I could watch it free. Awesome, because it is being broadcast out live for free. Or what I could do is get a television and get a cable package and pay for the cable package, but the cable package will include those sorts of things. And this is the crazy thing. This is the crazy thing right here, is that in order to watch the live show live on the internet, I have to have the cable subscription that is for the things that are other than the thing that I'm paying for in the cable subscription is not the ability to watch the broadcast channels, although I guess it sort of is paying the ability to watch the broadcast channels over cable as opposed to over the air. Radio waves and such like that. But it's odd because, I don't know, it's hard for me to reconcile that idea of like the free over-the-air network, broadcast network that is available to all, that you available to all unless you have this old particular television thing. Now, of course, the way Fox does it better than some other companies in that they actually have a nice, robust, well-designed, well-working website, a very well-working app that is capable of doing live streams, but it's only capable of doing live streams depending on what region you are in and depending on what show, if you have paid for the cable subscription and are doing the login, you're able to log in with an account. And I don't know. It seems, you can tell is the thing that I've thought through very well because I am able to cogently spew forth all of my arguments. But it seems that we have these television providers that, surprise, surprise, are not particularly well geared towards a brand new future that threatens their business model. That is not a thing that they are particularly well geared for. And it seems to me the thing that would make perfect sense to someone like me is I don't feel the need to buy a TV. I live in a dorm room. I don't need a big TV when I already have a computer and, in fact, a computer monitor. That gets me way more I get way more utility out of having a computer monitor than I do out of having a TV, because I can plug it into my computer and do all computer things on it. I can also plug it into like my Xbox and stuff like that, or plug it into my phone and do stuff on there. Whereas a TV, I wouldn't be able to do all of those various things. Well, Xbox things, sure. But I wouldn't be able to get as much utility out of a TV. So it makes sense for me, given limited space and limited money, to buy a computer monitor and use the very powerful computer things that I already have, and use that as my way of watching my media. And the way the business model is currently set up is saying that for people that are in that position, what you have to do is either pay for a cable subscription that you don't need, or buy a television, or buy a very expensive digital tuner and a antenna in order to do things like that, when they have all of the technologically speaking, Fox and networks like these have all the things built in to allow you to watch the live TV live over the internet. And it's fine, and watching it over the internet is probably at least to higher quality than it would be over an over-the-air thing, certainly, and maybe even cable. I don't know about that. That's me talking out of my ass, so who knows. But technologically, it's all perfectly there. It's just the business model, the legality, so things in rights issues and contracts, which is why I presume that they have things saying, like, in this particular area, you, depending on provider and depending on area and depending on the content, you may or may not be able to watch it live, and you may or may not be able to watch it live without signing in. So they have to do with the legality of all these things, but in that, it's not that there is some inherent, like, certain types of content can only be viewed and blah, blah, blah. It is totally a created thing by these people as part of their business models. And it strikes me as odd that you have this crew that's coming in and is willing to, it seems like just the easy adaptation is saying, cool, I'm just going to throw out this one little tiny piece of technology, but otherwise it's all exactly the same. Just let me do the thing. I will watch your, if it's a live show, I'll watch your ads. That's fine. You get the same amount of, you don't get carriage fees or stuff like that, but you get, I don't know if that's the exact terminology for it, but you still get to make me watch your ads. It still is a, and it seems it's just a, it's a fear that's entirely based on the idea of the theoretical cord cutter. And by theoretical, I mean, this is me. I don't have a cable subscription. And I guess I'm technically more of a cord never is the term for it, as someone who never had a cable subscription and then probably never will. And it's more just a, I don't know. I think when you are designing a system and the system that is being designed just puts up arbitrary walls purely for the purpose of trying to, if the only way that you're able to save your business model is by putting up arbitrary walls and saying, no, you can't because we say so, then that is a very, like, perfect example of, that should be a number one example that your business model is flawed and needs to adapt in other ways, because having a just because I said so, be the only reason for certain sorts of things is silly and doesn't usually historically work. It means that eventually people can find ways around arbitrary because I said so rules very simply, very easily. And this also sort of was brought to my attention a little bit because there's very, very faint, slight rumors about Hulu, which is a, if you are on the internet and watch TV on the internet, you know about Hulu, you probably use it all the time. I remember distinctly the first time hearing about Hulu in, I think, sixth grade, and the first few things that I ever watched on it were The Daily Show, because it was a friend of mine that loved watching The Daily Show and said, hey, you can watch The Daily Show, A, as a person without a cable subscription even, you can watch The Daily Show on Hulu the next day on the internet. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. And then that was also where I found Arrested Development. So that was the first time I ever watched Arrested Development, was on Hulu, because it was, you know, 2 or 3 years before Netflix. So I've been using Hulu for probably like 10 years now, 9 or 10 years, and it's an ingrained part of my digital television watching workflow. But there is Hulu as a company is one that is a co-owned venture of a whole bunch of different networks. I think it's NBC, Fox, and ABC are the ones that own stakes in Hulu. CBS is the one standout that never bought into Hulu, which is why you don't see CBS content on there if you're ever curious about that, and you have to watch it on fucking CBS All Access. Oh, it's garbage. It's terrible. Anyway, and there's rumors that are floating around that Time Warner Cable, Time Warner Incorporated as opposed to Time Warner Cable, there's an important difference that I'll get to in a bit, is looking to potentially buy Hulu, and would buy Hulu and remove any of their content from the being able to be streamed on Hulu, is sort of the feelers that have been floating out. Obviously, nothing is set in stone, and if a buyer like that would happen, that's actually the kind of buyer that would go perfectly fine. It's not like the Time Warner Charter or the Comcast Time Warner things of like, that's actually bad monopoly stuff, blah, blah, blah. So we have to actually have the SEC and the FCC do look-sees into making sure that that deal is legal and all above boards. But the question, of course, is, like, why would you buy a thing to then gut it? And the theory behind it being that, oh, from the perspective of Time Warner Inc., which is important because Time Warner Inc. is separate from Time Warner Cable. Time Warner Cable is the one that runs the cable company. Time Warner Inc. is the one that runs Warner Brothers and all of the content and production studio stuff. There's an article that I read that was sort of musing about this a little bit. I will probably put it in the show notes if I can find it and remember it. Although I didn't love the article. It was very rambly. Hey, the podcast kind of black in terms of rambleness. The difference is that's a written word thing. You're editing it. I could edit this, whatever. Anyway, the idea behind why would, of course, you want to buy something and then gut it is this: if you think that you're going to sort of go into play with some other streaming service potentially, and it's the way things are sort of working is it's going away from these consolidating things like Netflix and Netflix and Hulu were these places where everyone sort of, they were the vanguards in this idea of streaming and everyone was already on them, and that's sort of your one-stop shops, or in this case, your two-stop shops, to get basically all of the content. And then Amazon coming in as well, getting their own content libraries, and you have stuff like that. Not quite to the extent of the way that iTunes store in its heyday, and still is, of like the one-stop shop for everything music. Nothing has ever quite reached to that echelon in the TV world, but you know, you were relatively close. It was a nice, easy thing when you could, you didn't even have to pay to use Hulu. If you wanted to, you could do Hulu Plus and you could do Netflix, and you know, it's a few bucks. It's a few bucks, and it's certainly a luxury good, but you know, it works out fine, and you get sort of all the same content that you would get otherwise in a nice, timely, easy to use fashion. And now everyone is sort of splitting off into, you have your CBS has their own streaming service, and ABC has their own thing, and NBC has their own, and then there's also CISO is the new thing that's coming out, which looks actually kind of interesting because it is one that's specifically focused on a type of thing, and they are going whole hog into original content, in addition to, so CISO is a comedy streaming service, which is cheaper than all the other ones. It's another important thing to note. I think it's like $4 a month instead of $7 or $8, which adds up, and feels like, okay, separate issues. Number one, it's insane that everyone is, for people to think that, I don't know, it seems odd for me that people have, would think that there'd be some sort of channel loyalty to channels that are, like, big, broad broadcast channels, both broadcast, but also they are broad in terms of the type of content that they do, to think that anyone would have really all that much loyalty. Like, I have sort of vague loyalty in that I know that I tend to like CW and Fox shows more than I tend to like CBS and NBC shows, but, like, that's just a tendency. If a good show comes out on any one of them, I will watch that show, and I don't care about this or the other, and similarly, I'm not going to check out every single new show that the CW puts on because it's a CW show. And so I can understand there being, it seems like the way for streaming services that are going to be more niche, the way for those to work is for them to be something like CISO, or to be something like Cartoon Network, or like Comedy Central, where it is, no, what we have is we have a niche in terms of a very, very, very well-defined style. And you do know, like, if I can feel reasonably certain that if a new Cartoon Network show comes out, I'll give it a try, because it's probably something I'll at least enjoy, maybe not love, but I'll like it. Same sort of thing with Comedy Central. I'll try out new Comedy Central shows. CISO is a comedy-focused one that is both has sort of back catalogs, I think, like Seinfeld and stuff like that. Maybe not Seinfeld, I'm not sure. But they have back catalog stuff, but they also are investing very heavily into original programming from all of the various LA comedy people that I dig. Like, Jonah Ray has a new show that's coming on there. The McElroy brothers from My Brother, My Brother and Me are getting a new show. Dan Harmon has a show. So it's all sort of stuff like that. But the two-pronged problem with this sort of splitting out of everyone having their own streaming service is, number one, that I don't care about the CBS one. The only reason I care about it is if CBS has shows that I really want to watch, and more likely it's that there's a couple shows I want to watch on CBS, and a couple shows I want to watch on NBC, and a couple I want to watch on Fox, and a couple I want to watch on ABC, and a couple I want to watch on CW. That's the way that sort of there's no channel loyalty for these broad networks, and and so, A, given the choice, I would much rather have the, here are the seven shows that Andrew Ripple watches, and I will pay for watching those ones, as opposed to here's just, sign me up for all five of your different things. And the other half of it is price. All of these are coming out at like around $7 or $8 a month, which is fine. It sounds good in the abstract, but no one in their right mind is going to want to pay for $7 of NBC, $7 of ABC, $7 of CBS, $7 of CW, $7 of Netflix, and $7 of Hulu, on top of actual internet bills and stuff like that. At that point, it's like, okay, well, I don't want to deal with I don't want to deal with the hassle of having cable, but at that point, I'd rather, just economically, it's a necessity. So I think it's, and this strikes me, this is sort of the way the legacy media does, is like, oh, we think that we get the thing, and so we're going to make moves on stuff, but we're going to make moves in ways that are still very antithetical to the actual way that this new internet culture works, and we're going to try and shoehorn it and make it fit in our money type way that we'll still attempt to maximize profits in fun ways. And like, I don't know, I feel like there are, and maybe they've worked out the money, maybe it worked out the money and it does work out better that fewer people are going to use your thing than like more people would be likely to use if Hulu had everything from everywhere and everyone just paid for a Hulu subscription and got to watch all the content from all the networks, everyone would be on Hulu. And maybe they've mathed it out that like the pittance from everyone that a Netflix, NBC, the pittance that I will get from every single millions of people that use Hulu is better than, is not as good as the large amounts of money that I will get from the thousands of people. Numbers, of course, are, it's probably more like still millions or whatever, but of people that are going to use my homegrown NBC streaming service. Not to mention also all of these streaming services, especially like CBS's, is just bad. It's just badly coded. It's badly designed because companies like Hulu and Netflix, they are big and they can put a whole lot of money into making sure that specifically we're an internet company, so we're going to focus on making sure our internet products work really, 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 really well. We are just going to focus on the, yes, they're working on making content as well, but like what we're going to focus on is making sure that our core product, which is being able to watch these things on internet-y ways, works flawlessly. Whereas for NBC and CBS, that is another consideration among many, 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 many others. So, yeah, a lot of problems. Roundabout way of talking about the fact that Grease Live happened, and it was, I was only able to watch the first hour of it on my computer while it was streaming live, and then I had to watch the rest of it on Fox the next day. So, again, not really a thing worth complaining for 16 minutes about, I suppose, because I still did get to watch it the next day, and it still worked out fine. Barring the fact that you're the one that I want is out of sync. But whatever, whatever. C'est la vie. Well, I don't think it was out of sync in the actual one, but in all of the clips, it's out of sync. But it's that idea of, like, the whole thing that you're going for is you're trying to bring back this idea of live television. And what you're saying is, you know, I don't care enough about Grease Live to buy a television and buy a cable subscription, but I care enough about Grease Live to actually watch it. And you could make me sit through way more commercials. You know, I sat through a couple minutes of commercials every commercial break, but you could make me sit through a full, like, 4 or 5 minute commercial break if watching it live, because I want to be in on this live conversation. That's the whole thing. That's why they're doing these live shows, is to try and bring back this idea of live TV that is currently working perfectly fine for sports. Sports are really the only things that it's like, yes, you need to watch live, and it still has this built-in live community. And the live musical is a way of bringing in another crew, the people like me. Not that I really love most musicals, but I admit I watched it primarily for Carly Rae Jepsen. But it was good. It was good. That, you know, this is your way of bringing people like me in, and the people like me that don't care about sports and aren't going to be willing to, you know, if you care about sports, you're going to pay for whatever the sports. I think, yeah, I don't know too much about the way ESPN and stuff like that do it, but I think, like, you know, you can get specific ESPN baseball packages or stuff like that, and those things work through the internet, and it's great, and it's fine, and it's all, you know, they seem to be doing a better job of it than the actual content networks, and that's so frustrating. Whatever. But anyway, I wanted to see Fox. I wanted to watch it. I would have been in on this. I would have helped you out. And then you say, nope, nope, you can't do it. You can't do it unless you buy this particular type of technology that is not necessary for the rest of your lifestyle. And the only thing you'd be using it for is to watch Grease Live. And as much as I enjoyed Grease Live, not worth that. But anyway, we can talk about Grease Live as it actually was. I did enjoy it. I enjoyed it very well. It was fun. It reminded me that Grease is one of the dumbest shows in the history of all time. It's stupid. It's stupid. It's stupid. It's terrible. But it's got so many, like, good bits to it. Admittedly, all of the songs are garbage, but they're catchy garbage, at least. I would maybe make a play that, like, the whatever, it's like, that's something I could do, or that's something I should do, or not something I could do, whatever the Rizzo song is, that's pretty good. That gets close to being an actual good song. I would say You're the One That I Want is actually a good song. It's weird and makes no sense in context, but it's a legitimately good song, both catchy and, like, you know, does its work and has bits going for it. But man, Grease as a whole is such a dumb, weird show. And the thing that's frustrating about it is that it comes so very close to actually being pretty good. If they just tightened things up and made the through lines actually count and matter, like, you could do a pass on Grease that would make Grease pretty good. And just sort of streamline things and tighten down the plots of, like, you know, Frenchie's plot could be, has the makings of what could be a very good side character in a musical plot. You go through her whole thing and stuff like that, and it just sort of appears and fizzles out and nothing really happens from it, and like, well, she dyes her blonde again and I don't know. Frenchie's plot. Rizzo's is certainly the best story and through line of the whole musical, without a question, a shadow of a doubt. It's like she actually makes some stuff work. But even then, it's, you know, the Rizzo and Kaneki bits, that's actually pretty good. Okay, I'm fine with the Rizzo story. The Rizzo story is the only good story in Greece. The thing that's frustrating is Danny and Sandy. Danny and Sandy could be... There are two very easy ways that you could make the Danny and Sandy thing work perfectly. And one is to make it that... because Sandy actually has her Goodbye Sandra D reprise, and she has her whatever the, like, Hopelessly Devoted to You song, and stuff like that. And there's so many seeds planted of this idea that Sandy is stuck in this image that she doesn't like, and it isn't actually true. This idea of, like, because the whole her changing at the end could be a cool, neat thing if the point of that is, hey, I am casting off this perception that is being pushed upon me by my parents and this idea of what my parents are. It's my senior year. I'm growing up. I'm leaving home. I'm going to be me. And maybe I don't even necessarily know who me is, but I'm going to try this thing and figure it out. If it is sort of, if it was played like that and you just spent more time focusing on that storyline, that could be cool. It could be, it's very much sort of like the High School Musical thing of, High School Musical in Greece have a lot of linkages to it. And while High School Musical still, I love it, but it's still also not good. High School Musical does a better job, especially with the Troy storyline of like, if Sandy's story was like Troy's story in High School Musical, then that could work. That could be great. And her whole big transformation in You're the One That I Want would, it would kind of work. And you could be like, oh, cool. It's her just doing this because she, and even if still Danny is a part of that, and even if it is, there's still some element of like she's changing for a guy. If it's she's changing for a guy because she wants to, and because she wants him, and she knows she wants him, and she knows this is, if it's like, you can even play with that idea of she's changing for a guy and make it work. It could, as long as it is coming from this genuine rebellious desire. She's like sort of Ariel from The Little Mermaid. If this is she wants to rebel and she wants to explore new avenues, and that could be cool. And the other way that could work, and this is actually one that I think I would kind of like a little bit better, is if you do a total full-on Gift of the Magi ending, which they get so close to doing. Danny has his entire thing where he is going on the track team, and he letters in track. Danny letters in track. He becomes a lame, preppy jock dude, and if they just followed that through, if he shows up to the carnival wearing his letterman jacket in an attempt to try and win over Sandy, and she's like, this is what Sandy wants, Sandy needs a guy like this, and I'm going to do this for her, and then Sandy dresses up as Slick Greaser Girl, and like, this is what I need to win Danny, and they come together at the end, and they're like, oh, look at, you changed that for me, you changed that for you, you cut your hair to get me a watch chain, I sold my watch to get you a comb, like, it would be great, and we could actually have some cool, neat resolution. I'll admit, yes, the actual story of Greece is much more of a, originally meant to be more, I think that's the problem, is that it was originally meant to be more of a, I haven't seen the original version, but it's meant to be more of a satire, and it's a satire that's sort of poking fun at this sort of feel-good 50s nostalgia and stuff like that. And then it turned into actual feel-good 50s nostalgia, which is an interesting, fascinating thing on its own. It's like how the Batman 60s cartoon show, in the 60s, everyone knew it's campy and over-the-top. It's a over-the-top crazy comedy. That's the point of it. And then you have people like me that, and then years later, think that, like, oh, they were trying to play it straight, and we think it's campy, it's not intentionally campy, that it's like, that's what comedy was like in the 60s, and no, like, they knew they were being over the top, and it was purposeful, and it was insane, because that was funny, and it's the same thing with, like, Grease. It's like, Grease is making fun of 50s nostalgia, and turns into 50s nostalgia, and I don't know, I think that's a fascinating thing when satire turns into the thing it's satirizing. It's just I'm sure there's other examples of this elsewhere in the world, but like, I don't know, Greece is sort of the premier example that comes to mind, but I think the more it gets satirized and that and turns into it, it's, you run into the fact that, like, there are structural problems that make it not work as feel-good 50s nostalgia because it is purposefully skewering it, and so you have all these things that don't make sense and are still holdovers from that, so I think, you know, but Greece could be a good feel-good 50s nostalgia piece. Family-friendly feel-good 50s nostalgia piece is a thing Grease could be. And you could do that with just a nice, clean pass-through. And I think I'm going to put throw my hat in the ring and say that Grift of the Magi is the way to go. That's a My Brother and Me bit. But what actually happens in it is that he's wearing his Leatherman jacket, and then she walks in, and then he takes off his Leatherman jacket, and cool, now it's just, he's a greaser, he's a nicer greaser, but he's a greaser, and she's a greaser girl, and rock and roll, that's what we're doing. It's so frustrating because it's so close to being good. I also listened to an interesting thing on, I think it was NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour, that I didn't really think about, but they pointed out, and it's totally true in this particular production of Grease Live, that the movie, John Travolta, is over the top, gooberish, goofy, silly, crazy, and sort of making fun of 50s machismo and stuff like that, making fun of the idea of Danny being a cool guy, because, like, he's not, he's a dork when John Travolta plays him, and it's fun, and it's funny. Whereas when Aaron DeVite, however you pronounce his last name, plays him, he's actually kind of cool. Danny's kind of a cool dude. I kind of was like, oh, yeah, Danny, you're, yeah, neat. So that was interesting. I don't know what that says about anything in one direction or another, but it was odd. Yeah, no, okay, overall, Grease Live was exceptionally competently performed. It worked really well. And that was the other thing that was interesting, is this idea. This is the first of the television live musicals that I watched, and they do something that I really love, and that's when theatrical pieces point out the fact that they are theatrical, and sort of, it's the thing of, like, I think there's sort of multiple theories about theater and whether the point of it is to try and most convincingly pass for real life and, like, sort of make you forget that you're watching a play, or whether what you should do is, like, say, no, you're watching a play, and say, you know, what's fun is that we're doing these convincing things, but you get to see how they're working and see their tricks. And obviously on the super far end of that is, like, full-on Brechtian, like, everything is art and everything is a lie and we're gonna throw it in your face the entire time, and the other side it's like, nope, you can't see the wires and stuff like that. So and Grease Live did a really cool thing of, like, continually reminding you and showing you, like, hey, this is a live production that we are putting on, and these are sets, and there are costume changes, and they have to run from set to set and stuff like that. You have to see them in their go-karts moving along, and I thought that was really cool. I liked that they referenced the artifice of it, and the whole thing, I mean, it was technically spectacular. It was really cool, especially, like, it's the kind of theatrical effects that you're like, you can tell that they're an effect and you can actually kind of figure out how they're happening, but you still step back and be like, but it still works, especially in the road race that happens in it, that you can tell that they're just cars that are standing still and all the shakes are coming from the camera, but, like, the way the cameras were choreographed and shook made it feel like you're watching a filmed car chase, and the way that they have the headlight lights passing overhead, and, like, they use all those sort of old school tricks, and, like, you can tell you're on a stage, you can tell you're on a set, but it still, like, kind of feels real and kind of transports you in interesting, neat ways, which I thought was neat. And it was cool that, like, what you got to see is, I think what's exciting is, yes, television musicals have existed in the past, but we might be starting to see this sort of birth of a new art form, if that makes sense, because it's not a stage musical. You get to do things that you don't get to do in real stage, in stage things, but it's also not a movie musical. It's way more theatrical than a movie musical, because it's live and you don't get to do all the post-production, and the cuts have to be different, but it's also, you don't, aren't constrained by the constraints that you have in a theatrical setting of the audiences in one place, and there's what they get to look at it from one direction, and all of that. So you, it's sort of the, and I think this is, Grease Live is a very, very good example of, like, here, we've started to define what this art form is. And I think Grease Live is going to be a definitional piece of, like, if the live musical becomes a whole genre, and live TV musical becomes a genre in and of itself, like, Grease Live is going to be one of those foundational texts of, like, this is a way to do it. You can do it like this, and it works. And people will adjust based on it, and but it becomes, I've been in a poetry class and was talking about, like, sort of spheres of influence, and it's the idea of, like, okay, you've only read Shakespeare, that's the only poetry you've read, and so when you think about writing poetry, you're only defining yourself in relation to Shakespeare, and then you start reading Keats, and you're like, cool, now I'm defining myself, how am I close and far away to Shakespeare, and how am I close and far away to Keats, and then every poet that you add to it is another lines that you can draw of, like, placing yourself in the web of poetry. I think this is a similar thing of, like, hey, Grease Live is a new dot being written in the line of, in the world of, live TV musicals, and I think it's going to be an important and foundational one, which is cool, which is cool. I dug it. Ooh, if I'd thought this through, I'd be able to do a song from Grease Live as my end song. Let's see if Apple Music has it. Let's see. Oh, yes, Apple Music. Okay, give me a second. Give me a second. Which one do I want to do? Okay. Wow, I literally didn't talk about Carly Rae Jepsen at all. Okay, we're going to go beyond our time limit. We're going to extend a little bit. But Carly Rae Jepsen played Frenchie, and she was very good. She was very good. I liked it a lot. And she looked really cute with both the pink hair and as the beautiful blonde pineapple. But she was great. And she got an original song that was written by the people that wrote If Then, I think, and maybe Next Normal. I don't know. Because I don't care about musicals. Broadway, yeah, whatever. She had an original song, and it sucked. She performed it admirably. She was great. She did a very good job with it. But it's an original song right before Beauty School Dropout that it was weirdly like, we're only writing this in because it can work as a preview to Beauty School Dropout. So A, we're going to do that. And then B, it sounded like a contemporary musical theater song instead of sounding like 50s by way of 70s that the rest of the thing is. So it's like, people who wrote this, have you ever listened to Grease? Do you know what a Grease song sounds like? It doesn't sound like fucking Rent and everything else that's come out in the last 20 years. It doesn't sound like boring modern musical theater. It sounds like weird Grease. So that was frustrating. It's also just not a very good song. So meh, whatever. But Carly performed it admirably, and Carly did a great job over through the entire show. And for that, again, that was the reason I watched Grease Live, was to watch Carly Rae Jepsen. Although Vanessa Hudgens was the best part of the show by a long shot, but everyone in the show was good. Everyone knocked it out of the park, even Joe Jonas. Anyway, what we're going to do, the Carly Rae song is not good, so I'm not going to do the Carly Rae song. It's called All I Need Is an Angel or something like that. It's not good. It's not good. But what we'll do for the end song, we'll do a song from Grease. We're going to do, again, it's a dumb song and I don't actually like it, but I do love it because it's so just unabashedly catchy, and that's what Grease is. It's a dumb play. It's a stupid play full of dumb, stupid, terrible, catchy songs, and it's a glitzy, dumb, bad, play with great music and was performed competently and excellently, and it says some things about our modern TV, and for that, end song, Summer Nights, Grease, Grease Live, kick it, yo.
Summer loving had me a fly.